And welcome to a new episode of Digital Coffee. And I'm your host, Brett Deister. And please subscribe to Digital Coffee on all the major podcasting platforms. Leave a 5-star review if you like this. If not, let me know how I can do better. If you need to know where to follow, just go to digitalcoffee.tv and that will have all the ways to subscribe as well. But this week I'm going to be talking about Xbox, we'll be talking about NVIDIA's basically financial situation right now with their last quarterly earnings, talking a little bit about the Steam Deck and also Twitch and its new, I guess, notifications about banning, also some new tech as well. And then my main thing about the, about basically the game industry getting smaller with EA wanting to be bought. Ubisoft has said the same thing and kind of my thoughts on that as well. So I hope you have a really good cup of coffee, your favorite cup of coffee, or coffee cup, I should say, because it's going to be a doozy. Well, let's get brewing. That's good. And first up, we have Top Gun. Top Gun has been released this weekend, and Microsoft Flight Simulator does have a free Top Gun Maverick expansion. That's right. You can fly an FA-18E Super Hornet. You also have 3 training missions, 5 high-speed, low-level challenges that require utmost skill to navigate just above mountains and traverse through canyons, a carrier deck landing challenge, and one of the most demanding operations in the world of military aviation. Also, a mission to roar into the stratosphere as well. So it's going to be interesting. And it's great that it's actually free, because I always said that the latest flight simulator is a really great thing. It has a lot of actual, like, weather changes as well. Some people have flown in through one of the hurricanes that hit the United States before. So it's a very interesting take on, like, what's going on in the real world and how it affects with this as well. But this is kind of a great thing. It's only really one little jet. It was not a little jet, but just one jet. But you will be able to master basically radical flight maneuvers, unrestricted takeoffs, split maneuvers, and low altitude, high speed maneuvering through complex terrain. So it does have a challenge based thing for you. And this is just a great way of adding some content with Flight Simulator, because it's all around fun. I hope they do add more military type jets, because I feel like that's another thing that they could explore as well, but we'll see in the future what they do with that. All right, moving on to Xbox Game Pass. Now, there's been a weird thing on Twitter basically saying how they're basically canceling their Xbox Game Pass because there's not enough AAA, which I always say, well, we've had Forza, Halo, and Flight Simulator, and Age of the Empire 4, all recently. Well, Flight Simulator is a little bit older, but the other three have been recently released as AAA games. But it doesn't really matter, because all they really care about is more of that clout, more of that, look at me, I'm taking a stand for all the little people out there that don't care about me buying this subscription at all. So it's a little interesting. But talking about Game Pass, what's coming in May is Her Story, Jurassic World Evolutions 2, Skate, Farming Simulator 22, Vampire Survivor, Floppy Disk, Hard Space Shipbreaker, Sniper Elite 5, which was just released this week, so that's a very interesting one as well. And like I said, and a lot of people have said this, it's Game Pass is probably one of the best values you can get right now. I haven't really seen anything other or better value. I mean, the NVIDIA GeForce Now is close, but not quite yet. EA Play is not worth it at all, and the Ubisoft Plus is not really worth it at all. Maybe Amazon Luna, but I really wouldn't take that too much. And the PlayStation Now isn't really a great offer at all. So, I mean, there's different things, and it's different for different people. This is a PC gaming, basically gaming podcast, and so it's a great value for PC gamers, because you can get the Xbox games and other games that you may not have actually bought through Steam, because expensive and it's costly to buy all these games, on this instead, and it's basically $10 for just the PC or $15 for the Ultimate. And so it's a very interesting thing that's been going on with that, but I seem to enjoy it. I don't really understand why people have a problem with it, but to each his own. Moving on to the ex-president of Nintendo America, Reggie. Yes, Reggie is a black man, and I didn't really care or notice because that's what I am, but apparently he had to put his, because he's on a book tour, his two cents into diversity. Now, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know my stance on diversity is it's a hoax, it's fake, it doesn't work. It is basically a way to actually implement racism by highlighting or making more privileges for one group over another. It doesn't work. We've never seen this type of thing work. But he gave an endote of a story a long time ago that may or may not have actually happened and may have probably a little bit more hyperbolic than it should be. But when he was a new president, blah, 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 there's a security at one of the E3s and they mistook him for somebody else. And basically that shaped him. And basically he's touting that Nintendo America is or has shaped the culture in a very positive way, but then everybody, and rightfully so, if you look at all Nintendo games, there are not very many minorities in the games. It's all white people. So I don't really know what he's trying to get at. I just think this is more of a publicity stunt. Now you may be wondering, well, Nintendo doesn't make PC games at all, and rightfully so, but this has been an underlying thing for a lot of game companies, tech companies in general, this push of diversity and inclusion, which actually is very exclusive and specific to one ideology specifically, and it has had no positive effect on anything whatsoever. And that's always my thing. The reason why the colorblindness or treat people the same as you would basically treat everybody the same as you would treat yourself is a better ideology or a better thought process, is because everybody's on an equal playing field. Now, people would say that that's racist to do that, but it's not really racist because you're treating everybody, or you're trying to. Let's be honest, we're all human. We all say and do things, and we all have hate to some type of people at times, but you're trying your best to treat people the same because it's the best way forward. A lot of these practices can even date back to when slavery happened in America and where they were basically justifying slavery. And this is the same way, in a really weird, perverse way, but you're just justifying it on the other side. So there's justifications, even though we've had books, and I'll refer to the Bible because it's probably one of the best books on how to treat people, saying that we are all brothers and sisters under God. Even if you don't believe in God, that is, we're all brothers, sisters under America or in America type of a thing. That could be another way of actually using it, because it's just the best way forward. You can stick diversity policies all you want, but if you are not actually looking at the person's personality, the person's ideas, the person, the way the person works and everything like that, you're not really helping anything. You're just basically putting forward a terrible ideology from a very sadistic man called Michel Foucault. All this is basically that type of person. So that type of person basically said that what a lot of woke ideology has said, everything is a power structure. Language has a power structure, which is a very fatalistic type of way of saying it. My point is that we need to get back to that point where we treated everybody the same, or we tried to treat everybody the same, and said, look it, you are not based, or your character should not be based on what you look like, but what you do and say. And more importantly, what you do over what you say. That's how we get to this, I guess, more and more less racist society, even though we're not racist at all as a society. There's been plenty of studies saying that we are probably the least, but we can always do better. I mean, if anybody says we can't do better, then no. But my point is that we need to stop this because this is not helping anybody. This is actually what's driving a lot of just the animosity, a lot of the hate, and a lot of just bitterness within people that we've seen go to deadly effect. And I'm tired of this just pointless argument that has made no visible positive impact on anything except divide us more, which is not what we need right now. We don't need division anymore. We don't. We're so divided on every little thing. We so hate each other so much that we'll call each other names, and it's on the right and the left, and I've done it too, so I'm not saying I'm absolved of anything of this, but we are so involved in trying to own each other that we forget that we are of the same nation. We are brothers and sisters under the United States. Regardless if we agree or disagree on politics, we are still countrymen and countrywomen, and we should act like it, but we don't. We act like tribes within the United States, and we have to one up because mostly social media, and I will say this, social media has done more of a detriment to how we talk to each other than anything else, and gaming has also done that too. I'm not saying that gaming has caused mass shootings. I'm just saying how we talk to each other has happened in gaming too, where we get, well, rightfully upset at times because a lot of times we won't win. Gaming is about winning things. So when we don't win or we don't think we're doing it, we lash out. And so we forget that we're all gamers. Brothers and sisters under all gamers. Hell, I'll even say that. Brothers and sisters are all gamers. You are, regardless if I agree with your ideas or not, you are still a person. And I take this portion out and say, and this is part of the Bible, it says, hate the sin, not the sinner. But I always say, hate the idea, but not the person. And that's what we've forgotten to do. And it's very reminiscent of hate the sin, not the sinner. Hate the idea, not the person. Because you can't, just because one person has a bad idea doesn't mean they're completely a terrible person. Now, they have several bad ideas, and they're specifically trying to use bad ideas to harm things, that's a different situation. You can still rebuke that person. But I digress. We need to stop this. We just terribly need to stop this. We've gone to a point where young men are shooting up schools and young kids as recently as this week. And it's a tragedy in and of itself. And there are deeper issues that we need to face as a society that we are not facing at all. We will not face it because it's easier to blame other things than to blame the actual harm that our society has done to young men. Anyways, moving on to a little bit more actually tech stuff and brighter things. AMD has revealed FSR 2.0. Now, FSR is equivalent to DLSS. It's similar to that. And 2.0 is supposed to have major improvements with it. It's going to have various different things. Flight Simulator is one of them that's going to have it. Forsaken is going to have it. Grounded, Awakening as well. And it's just going to get better and better. Now, usually AMD type of features like these do better than NVIDIA, mainly because AMD is actually more about open source than NVIDIA is. NVIDIA may make great stuff, but a lot of their features are not open source at all. And that's where they kind of get, well, people not really getting it or buying it, because like G-Sync versus FreeSync. FreeSync was a more open source, non-hardware based way of doing what G-Sync was doing, and it was cheaper to buy monitors like that. Now, NVIDIA had to go and say and do different tiers of G-Sync because no one was really buying the premium G-Sync, and so G-Sync compatible became a thing because FreeSync just was so good at what it was doing as a software-based thing that they really couldn't compete because it'd be $100, like hundreds of dollars more for G-Sync than the FreeSync. So I always like what they do, and I appreciate what AMD does because they do push the industry in good ways, and NVIDIA does too. They push cutting edge stuff a lot more. AMD is trying to do it, but they a lot of times do cutting edge type things. So they both do something similar and different at the same time. And I'm glad that this is actually coming out and they're actually doing it. Now, the great thing about FSR is that it does work with AMD cards as well. So it's not just beholden to AMD only, and it works with older ones too. DLSS does not work with older cards. It is the 2000 series and above. And so that's always been a sticking point for a lot of people, is that you really have to spend a lot of money to get the DLSS, which does have improvements in frame rates as well. All right, moving on to DLSS, because they also announced a bunch of different things as well. So there's going to be 12 new games in DLSS, including Hitman 3, which boasts about 2x at 4K, which is always a good thing because I have a 4K monitor and trying to boost frame rates as much as I can. Even though I do have a 3090 NVIDIA in my system right now, boosting frame rates as much as I can for 4K is always a good thing. And like I said, I like both things. I like DLSS and I like FSR. FSR and DLSS go about doing it in two different ways. DLSS is more about machine learning. FSR is not as much about machine learning and more about algorithms in general. So DLSS, for a certain amount, does get smarter and does get better in that time. But FSR does still get better as well, just through updates and everything else. Now, they all right now are on their 2.0 version. DLSS is in their 2.0 version or 2.0 whatever version. And it is better than when it first came out. So that's a good thing. I'm excited to see what 3.0 is going to be, because that should really boost and make compression even better for 4K resolutions as opposed to what we are right now. But I mean, the future is looking bright for pushing those frame rates as high as 100 or more, because that's what you actually want to hit. Now, some games like Battlefield 2042, which I cannot still for life of me boost to over 100 frames, or there are times, very small times, I can do that. And I get stuttering in the menu system, which is very interesting in general too. But I do wish that companies will implement this more and more. I hope it's an easy way of implementing it, or both companies work with Epic, because Epic is one of the main, I guess, companies that makes game engines. Unreal Engine is the most popular engine that developers actually use, but also work with Frostbite, also work with the Crytek, also work with other engines, Quake Engine as well, to actually make this process easier, implement a lot better. All right, moving on to AMD's RDNA 3, and it will support DisplayPort 2.0 and eventually 2.1 and UHBR20 as well. So that's a good thing, because it's going to help boost even higher resolutions than above 4K, 8K, at basically about around 30 hertz, around 60 frames per second. If you can actually find an 8K monitor, I would not really try to find an 8K monitor, because nothing can really play it. But this will help boost resolution, or include 16K resolution at 60 frames per second. And 16K is a long way off. We're just getting affordable 4K monitors right now. So don't expect 16K monitors to come out anytime soon, but this is more of a future-proofing type of a thing, which is always great to see that some graphics cards do future-proof itself to a certain extent. I do like that they're adding the USB-C, because I do hope eventually all monitors become USB-C powered than having power blocks, and I have like 15 different power blocks, which is insane, by the way, because these power blocks take up a lot of room. It's really crazy how many power blocks I have, because I mean, a lot of these devices take, especially for desktop computers, take basically power blocks. But I digress. Is that I like to see that this is actually happening to help forge ahead with the future of what displays are going to look like in the future. All right, moving on to Twitch. And Twitch is new, I guess, pledge to making ban notifications more transparent. Because previously, and it's usually been to a certain extent, some viewpoints have been, they haven't really been transparent about why it's been banned. Now, Hassan keeps on saying, like, oh, I've been banned because I said the word. It's a derogatory word towards white people called cracker. Even though a lot of white people don't really care about it, it is a racial slur. And they do have community guidelines for this. Now, regardless of how you feel about this, and I don't really care if you say that word to me, I don't really care what type of word you say to me because it has no power over me. It still is a racial slur. If we're going to make racial slurs a bannable offense, then you got to make all racial slurs a bannable offense. You just can't pick and choose which one. Which Hassan, a touted fake communist, he makes a lot of money for being a fake communist, to be honest with you, and he's actually pretty rich. But I digress. There should be more transparency in this. Why did I get banned? Show me a clip of what so I can do better, or hopefully get unbanned and take it off, or whatever. I mean, sometimes it's so innocuous that you don't even know why you were banned, and sometimes they need to flesh out their community guidelines. I would say, to a certain extent, just leave it open. Like, have speech only bannable when it's actually, well, legally indefensible. Like, it gets so crazy because you have to pick and choose on, like, what you need to do, and then whatever is the popular political ideology, and then you have to go through back and forth, and it's a crazy ritualistic thing that, like, words can get banned because one popular ideology doesn't like it, type of a thing. And it just follow the First Amendment. That's always what I say, because it's the easiest way of doing this stuff. You don't have to deal with it, and let the streamers and moderators on the Twitch pages do their own type of banning on language. That's fine, but as a company, just be like, look it, you guys are adults, figure it out, make your own rules, we'll give you the tools to ban words if we need to, and leave it at that. Like, this whole thing that the company needs to, like, save us from ourselves is just, it's weird. It's always weird to me, because I don't like it. I don't want a company telling me what I can and cannot say, for the most part. I will do that myself, for the most part, because I really don't say the N-word at all. Because I'm respectful, and what's the point of saying the word anyways? But, I mean, who cares? Like, you're a company. Here's what a company should actually care about. Making their employees happy, making a good product, and maintaining a good standing with their customers and community. For the most part, and the majority, I would say. Not the minority, which we always seem to care about more, but the majority of them. And that's what they should care about more. The problem is that when you get the streamers saying that because someone said the N-word, they were being lynched or died because no one died for calling a white guy a cracker, but or an incel, but black folks apparently were being harassed after a white person said the N-word. And the whatever ones. I won't say it because it's not worth repeating at all, but citation needed on this one. Like, you need to have evidence that because they said a word that they actually was actual violence, or is it you just your own kind of bias that you say that when they said this bad things happened, which I don't think is actually true. I think a lot for the long most part that actually didn't happen, but there might have been some coincidence in that, but I just don't think that actually does happen. I think you're a little bit more butthurt than anything else. All right, moving on to Marvel. Massive multiplayer game has been canceled. That's right. It was reportedly helmed by one of the co-founders of Cryptic Studios, the designer of City of Heroes. And, well, they just went like, you know what? This wasn't worth the investment. We're looking at doing other IPs or original IPs to actually help our business a lot better, which I can understand. I mean, Marvel IPs are always hard. I mean, the Avengers didn't do very well. Guardians of the Galaxy did better when it was on Game Pass because it found an audience. It's just, it's one of those things where you hope that Marvel games are a slam dunk like the movies and you make millions of dollars off of it, but a lot of times it's just not. All right, moving on to the Steam Deck, and there are now 3,000 verified playable games. That's right, the Steam Deck is, well, I have to say, a game changer in actual PC portable gaming. Now, the reason why I will still follow this is because it is technically a PC. You can set it up on a monitor and you can run it as a PC using it's a Linux-based operating system. But I like that Steam is getting as many games and developers are trying to get as many games verified to play on the Steam Deck, because this is just another way of making sure that your game is played by everybody and that people want to do it. Because I think a lot of Steam users, once they get the Steam Deck, will be like, well, is it verified? Because then I can actually install it on my Steam Deck and still play it. And I think that's a really great thing. I mean, I'll say this, Valve, for the most part, has been great in pushing the industry forward, at least the PC gaming space, in regards to how we play. Now, in actually developing games, they're really sucky at it right now because they haven't really made a Halo game for VR, but I mean Half-Life, sorry. They made a Half-Life game for VR, but a lot of people don't have a VR system because A, it's expensive, and B, there's not very many good games on there right now. It still needs some time for maturing, and eventually will. But right now, I have no need to actually get a VR unit. I have seen no positive impact except if I want to really escape this world, which I don't, because escapism is fine. Escaping it completely is not. And there is distinction between that, because I do feel like sometimes some gamers have no boundaries in that part. And that's where we run into being labeled as loners, being labeled as this and that, even though a lot of gamers aren't. We play with a lot of friends. We play games with friends. We are very social in that aspect. But moving back to the Steam Deck, I'm glad that they found a way to be more mobile and affordable, because a lot of these similar products are usually over $1,000, and the most expensive Steam Deck is still under $1,000. Take that into consideration. So it's great to see that they are doing their best to make this work. They learn their mistakes from the Steam controller, which they don't make anymore. And even the small computer for Steam, I forget the name of it, but they were small little computers with a Steam OS in it. So they learned their mistakes with this from those two devices, and they basically implemented it into a really great device that we see right now. And you can replace the parts, which is even better, because that's a longer life for this particular product. All right, moving on to some financials, because I did want to get into more of a business side of the gaming industry. Allied Esports, which does own Esports Arena, has announced their financial results, which is they're looking actually pretty good. So they were up 54% from 2020, so they did about 5 million instead of 3.2 million. They also increased to 62.9 million, which was a change from a net loss to 45.1 million. Now, this company owns Esports Arena, but they did own the World Series of Poker tournament, which they sold off to about 105 million, which probably was a great thing. Now, the reason why there was such a big uptick in their financials is because in 2021, we finally came out of lockdowns that were basically shown to be terrible for a number of reasons, but we finally got out of it, and so we saw live events come back. People wanted to come back to live events, and the Esports Arena has more thrived this year than last year. The same thing with movies, and this is just looking to be a better look at what is happening in the esports, I guess, industry. Because there are a lot of different esports coming, a lot of different esports, and it's just going to get bigger with different types of games, especially ones coming out that could potentially be it. So I'm glad to see that they are being healthy and they're positioning themselves to basically be financially secure. And it's because they increased their revenue by 54% year over year from 2020 to 2021. And that's much because it was increased in-person attendance at the HyperX Arena in Las Vegas. It is that pyramid-looking thing from the Luxor. They just made it into an esports arena, which I think is a genius thing as well. When you ever fly into Vegas, you'll see it. It's big, huge sign over the or on the pyramid. And esports is going to be taking over. It's going to be probably the number one most popular and most lucrative sports out there. Football is still number one, but eventually it's going to go away. No offense to you football players, but esports is the future, regardless if we like it or not. All right, moving on to NVIDIA's financials. Now, it's an interesting thing with NVIDIA because they were up and they were down. So their operating income was down 37% quarter over quarter and also year over year down 4%. Their net income was down 46% quarter over quarter and down 15% year over year. Their diluted earnings per share was down 46% as well and down 16% in the GAAP. Also, the revenue was up quarter over quarter 8%, but year over year was up 46%. So they were down in some areas and they were up in some areas. So operating expenses was up quarter over quarter and up year over year, but operating income was down, net income was down. And so it makes for a very wishy-washy, basically quarterly earnings, where it makes a lot of investors worry about what's about to happen. So that's the problem there. Now, if we want to look at the non-GAAP, the revenue was up quarter over quarter 8% and up 46%. The gross margin was up 10 BPS quarter over quarter and up 90 BPS quarter over quarter. Operating expenses up 11%, but up quarter over quarter, but up 35% year over year. Net income, operating income was up 8% and it was up 55%. Net income was up 3% quarter over quarter and up 49% year over year. Diluted earnings per share was up 3% quarter over quarter, but up 49% year over year. So here's the thing. Yes and no, it was good and bad for NVIDIA, partly because of a lot of stock constraints and not being able to actually sell as many cards as they want to because of the pandemic and just getting out of it, shutting down, getting out of it, shutting down. And China shutting down, and then the Russia-Ukraine war happening as well has kind of impacted a lot of their earnings in general. Now, their data center is very strong, which is up 83%, which we don't really care about. But the gaming one, revenue was up 31% from a year ago and 6% from previous quarter. And it introduced the 3090, which is just a card you should never buy because it doesn't really do much better than the original 3090. So, I mean, they're touting this, but some of this stuff is just, I mean, for the most part, they're still in strong financial standings. They're still very strong because a lot of gamers look at NVIDIA as some of the best graphics cards to buy. Now, we'll see what Intel actually does to bring competition, and we'll see what the next version of AMD's GPUs also does. This year's 6000 series did a pretty good job of actually bringing competition back, but I'm looking for more. I'm looking for even tighter competition within frame rates, within the way they deal with this stuff. But we'll see what actually happens. Now, moving on to the consolidation of the gaming industry. It's happening. Microsoft is buying Activision Blizzard for an absurd amount of money. The Embracer Group bought Crystal Dynamics and Eidos for not as much as a crazy amount of money. Sony bought Bungie for a ridiculous amount of money. And Ubisoft is looking to sell or merge. And EA is now in the fray of this as well. EA has been reported to actually be in talks with a bunch of different companies between Disney Apple, Amazon, and even NBC or MSNBC or whatever, and was it CBS? One of those ones. They were in talks to almost merge with them. So they are looking to either merge or be bought out, because just looking at the crazy, insane price for Activision Blizzard, EA's like, and the shareholders are like, maybe we should say not no to the buyout. So it does happen. It happens in every industry. It grows, it gets big, and then it consolidates. It, for better or for worse, it always consolidates. You can't really stop that because of just the sheer amount of money that gets tossed around when you get so big. But nothing has happened yet. My take was, and the smarter would probably be to merge with Ubisoft as well. So it basically the best of both worlds for what IPs you actually have. And it could be a really good idea to do that in general, because EA's got a lot of good IPs, but also Ubisoft's got a lot of good IPs as well. Now, they haven't really done a great job of maintaining these IPs, but they still got a lot of good ones as well. They have the Ghost Recon or Tom Clancy type of line. I mean, they're making another Star Wars game. They're making an Avatar game. So I wouldn't be surprised if that actually happened, but nothing is set yet. But something could happen. Would Microsoft buy EA? No, because they're still within that. If they bought them at the same time that they're trying to get the Activision Blizzard deal through, there would be a lot of more hurdles. It's just not going to happen. Microsoft's, there's no way they're going to buy it. EA's going to be a pretty hefty. It's probably going to, I would suggest it's probably going to be like $80 billion for EA. EA stock trade is a lot higher than Activision Blizzard's because they haven't been hit with those massive lawsuits that Activision Blizzard has been hit with. But don't expect something not to go through. It's going to happen. There's nothing you can really do about it. It happens in every industry. Look at the tech industry. A lot of consolidation within the social media companies, with Facebook buying WhatsApp, Facebook buying Instagram, and other types of properties as well. And mark my words, I mean, it gets more and more expensive to make games. So they're going to be looking to be in part of a bigger group where they can be financially stable. It is more of a safety, and they just want money too, but it happens. You have to keep your shareholders happy, and being bought out can keep your shareholders happy if it goes for a premium. So that's what we're in. Do I think Apple will buy them? No. The problem with Apple is that they're very closed. Regardless if you like it or not, they're a very closed off type of company, and it would be the detriment of themselves if they just released EA games on Apple, and they don't want to release on anything else but their Apple products, and that would kill franchises. So I Apple's off. Amazon potentially, because they have been trying to get into gaming, and they do have at least two games under their belt, Lost Ark and New World. So with EA's IPs and everything, that could be a major thing. Disney, maybe not. They bought Lucasfilms, which had LucasArts, but they shuttered that too. So I don't really foresee that actually happening. The likely one of the major players would be Amazon if they wanted to go after that type of a thing, because they could have a really good player base within what EA is offering. They have the Mass Effect series, they have the Dragon Age series, they have Battlefield, Apex Legends, Titanfall, Command & Conquer, if they wanted to actually do something new with that as well. They have a bunch of different ones, Wing Commander, a bunch of older IPs as well, Lemmings. I mean, it could go on and on and on, but I mean, they have a lot of good, strong IPs, especially with Star Wars Jedi Order, and also Star Wars Squadron, and they decided to make a second one, which they should, by the way. But for right now, nothing has happened. But my best bet, the two best bets I would do is either Amazon buys it or they merge with Ubisoft. Maybe take two. And that could be a very interesting thing as well. But I don't really foresee anybody else. Apple, it just doesn't make a lot of sense at all. But what do you think? Do you think I'm way off on all these predictions or way off on all this stuff that I just said? Let me know in the comments below. Let's discuss. Let's have a good, respectful discussion on all this. But thank you for listening to Digital Coffee. As always, please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, or your favorite ones. Leave a 5-star review. If you don't know where to subscribe, just go to digitalcoffee.tv and hit the subscribe button there. But join me next week as we talk about what's going on in the gaming industry, specifically the PC gaming industry. All right, guys, stay safe, game on, and be nice to each other. Later.